Well, hello and good evening. Michael and Allie, thank you so much for helping us to transition out of the busyness of traffic and parking lot and dinner and all of the things that we're juggling to get here in time for this special fellowship. My name is Melinda Parisi, and I just have the privilege of being part of the Re-Engage team here at Watermark Community Church. And I want to say welcome, especially if this is your very first time joining us at Re-Engage. I know it can take a lot to get here and to figure out where you're supposed to be, but you're here, and I celebrate that. And for everybody in the room, whether you walked through the doors tonight because your desire is to reconnect with your spouse or to experience reigniting in your marriage, or maybe you would even just say, hey, there is literally no life in our marriage tonight and we're looking for the miracle, for the resurrection. Welcome. We are so glad that each and every one of you has decided to join us here tonight. I'd love to just jump in with my own prayer. I know Allie was so sweet to pray over us as we transitioned out of worship, but would love to just enter into prayer now before I go much further in our talk tonight. So let's do that. Please join me now in praying over your own heart. We invite the Holy Spirit to have His way with each of us tonight. Father God, will you please enlighten the eyes of our hearts so that we will not be found walking in spiritual blindness? We ask you to give each of us eyes to see you and ears to hear you. Will you please open our minds to receive knowledge and understanding? And would you deposit seeds into the soil of our hearts that will bring forth good fruit for your glory in our marriages? We declare that you are worthy of our surrender, and we seek you, your kingdom, and your ways. Father God, we admit that we are incapable of loving our spouse well without your help. We invite your power and presence tonight so we can experience the freedom that Christ died to give us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, a couple weeks ago, we heard a teaching here about things that move the needle in our marriage from a state of empty and lifeless to abundant and thriving. There were three practical things included in that teaching: praying together, having regular date nights, and weekly check-ins with your spouse. Hopefully, you've been putting some of those into practice. Tonight, I'd like us to acknowledge that while those practical rhythms are powerful to move us toward the thriving marriage that God designed, there can be something that one or both of you are doing, perhaps even unknowingly, that will completely prohibit your progress here at Re-Engage and even derail your marriage with hopelessness. The journey you're on in marriage might be taking you through a valley. We sang about that, actually. And all you can see is a rugged uphill climb. Maybe you're on level ground, on a plateau, and the climb is coming. But we pray that you will fix your eyes on Christ in marriage so that with Him leading the way, you will both get to the summit. I love just this imagery of recognizing, like, we miss out on so much when we stop climbing down low. And so may this just be a goal of, like, we're going to keep going because when we get there, it is worth the hard work. So tonight, a big question that I'd like to put out there: is your heart believing something that is not true? I would frame that question also as, do you have a deceived, deluded, or hardened heart? Why would we take the time to talk about this tonight? So the use of the word heart in the Bible, it's not a reference to the physical organ in our bodies that pumps blood. It's the source of our thoughts, our attitudes, our beliefs, and actions. It's basically command central. Proverbs 4:23 tells us, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Did you catch that? Everything we do flows from our hearts. That's a very loaded statement of truth, which causes me to want to do a little bit deeper understanding of my heart so that I can guard it well. That said, I've recently spent some time researching what I would call the ripple effect of unmet desires of the human heart. I have a friend who's a licensed counselor in the Minneapolis area, and some of her colleagues wrote a book called The Seven Desires of Every Heart. Authors Mark and Debbie Laster identify these seven universal desires that God gives us: to be understood and heard, affirmed, blessed or loved unconditionally, safe, touched in healthy ways, chosen, and included. I think if you sit here long enough, you'll be like, yeah, I definitely have those desires. But understanding these desires helps us discover our true need for God. He is the only one who can truly satisfy our desires at the deepest level of our soul. The problem with the seven desires is that they're so deep in our souls, we don't always consciously understand that they exist. We feel them in our hearts, and we can even ache for them to be fulfilled, but we don't know the source of that ache. And instead of realizing we have pain and loneliness because those desires are unfulfilled, we simply experience loneliness and frustration, and then we allow anger and bitterness to consume us. We hurt, and we long for something more, but we don't even know what that something more is. God is both the creator and the ultimate fulfillment of these desires, and it's only when we look to God first to fulfill our desires that we can then also find them partially met by other people, including our spouse. Our marriages will actually suffer when we expect that our spouse can give us all the desires all of the time. God designed our hearts to worship Him. However, if we are not worshiping Him, then we are giving our hearts over to the things He created. We can even make little g gods out of our spouse when we expect them to fulfill what only God can. And that always leads to disappointment. The fact that you are here working on your marriage is amazing. Truly, you could be doing 100 other things tonight, but you're here and you're investing in and fighting for your marriage. And that's God honoring, because our marriages are sacred. They're holy. They're God-ordained. So well done, guys. Well done being here. But going back to our challenge question of, is your heart believing something that is not true? If we operate out of a deceived heart, we can be here in this room every Wednesday fighting for our marriage for the wrong reasons, including pride, selfish gain, insecurity, fear, instead of doing it out of a heart that recognizes our responsibility to live out God's plan for our marriage by applying His word to how we love Him and one another. So with this bit of understanding about our hearts, let's consider how we can guard them. Self-deception is common in our fallen world. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight." We hear God instructing us not to lean on our own understanding because he knows our hearts and how easily they can be deceived. Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind." James 1:22 also warns us against deceiving ourselves. It says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." God's word is meant to change us. We can sit in church for years listening to sermon after sermon, but if we never allow the word we hear preached to change us, then we are self-deceived. It's been said that the longest distance in the world is from the head to the heart. We can read the Bible from cover to cover, but unless we put its commands into practice, we deceive ourselves. Like a mirror, the Word of God always shows us the truth. Here at Reengage, you will hear us talk a lot about drawing the circle around yourself and working on the one inside the circle. This concept teaches us to shift our focus off our spouse and to humbly invite God to examine our own individual hearts so that we can honor him in the ways we are thinking, feeling, and acting. When we make this a daily practice, we maintain a soft heart, one that is pliable in the hands of the Lord, able to be used by the Lord to further his good plans. So here's another question. How are you responding to truth? Do you have a hardened heart toward God's word and thereby reject it because you believe it's a rule book that imprisons you from living freely and condemns you for getting it wrong? Or do you have a heart that believes God reveals himself throughout the pages of Scripture as a sovereign, trustworthy, loving Father who has good plans for us, and that causes you to want to follow him and his word closely? The Bible is ultimately a portrait of God's immeasurable love for us, that which is made accessible only by receiving his free gift of grace through faith in the life, death, and resurrection of his son Jesus. God has given us an instruction manual for overcoming this world. When we have a biblical, truth-based view of God, we see ourselves, others, and the things of this world in a manner that causes us to feel, choose, and behave in alignment with his word. If we're going to have thriving marriages that reflect God's love for his people, we must allow truth to inform our hearts. Human pride always blinds us to truth, as we hear in Obadiah chapter 1, verse 3. He says, "The pride of your heart has deceived you." Deceived hearts will eventually become hardened hearts, and it is a hardened heart that misleads us from choosing God's good and best when things feel hard. We believe the lie that we're not supposed to experience difficult, displeasing, or painful things. So instead of surrendering to God in our trials, we lean on our own understanding, and we work tirelessly to control our situations and the other people in our sphere. Guys, I know firsthand what it feels like to live a life led by a deluded heart. Some of you already know that my own marriage was rescued, restored, and redeemed by the grace of God. Neither Michael nor I had personal relationships with Christ for the first 10 years of our marriage. We lived for the world, making money, going to happy hours, traveling together, having fun. Without the truth of God's word informing our minds and hearts for those first 10 years, we made idols of ourselves, our work, our possessions, our hobbies, our comfort, our finances, even our parenting. We were a hot mess. Personally, I allowed pride, control, bitterness, disappointment, frustration, insecurity, fear, and anger to fuel my behaviors. Because I did not see life through a lens of Scripture, I falsely believed that this life was all about me, my success, and my happiness. When dissatisfaction set in, I believed the lie that I had married the wrong person because my marriage to Michael wasn't fulfilling the desires of my heart. So going back to that list of desires of our heart, you can kind of strike through what I wanted, but this is what I actually felt. I felt misunderstood and neglected. I felt not enough and inadequate, unworthy, unlovable, fearful, lacking trust, anxious, insecure, lacking comfort, rejected, lonely. Those were all feelings that were just spinning within me. I tried to escape my pain and loneliness through alcohol and exercise. A very self-absorbed heart became hardened, making poor choices that led me down the dark path of being unfaithful to Michael. Looking back and knowing what I know now, I continued in the affair. I refused to listen to others, and I sought to escape my marriage through divorce because I was operating out of a hardened heart. Jesus refers to this in Matthew 19:8 when asked by the Pharisees about divorce. He said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, Moses allowed you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so." By contrast, Michael was operating out of a heart that was tender and open to God and to his word. Michael had God-fearing men walking alongside him, literally at work during lunch breaks, and they were loving him with grace and truth. Though his heart had been ripped out and torn to shreds by my unfaithfulness, his friends comforted him by sharing scripture. I praise God that with the help of these faithful friends, Michael came into a personal relationship with Christ 6 weeks into our 15-month separation. Michael allowed truth to inform his heart, and the tangible result of that was he began to live out Ephesians 4:31 through 5:2. During the hardest times in our marriage, while we were separated and I was actively involved in the affair. There's a lot in this verse, guys. Ephesians 4:31 through 5:2. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Over the last 9 years of serving in Reengage, Michael and I have seen too many hardened hearts prevent reconciliation through unforgiveness or lack of repentance. Oh, how this grieves us. The reality that husbands and wives and kids have missed out on chances for healing and blessing because of hardened hearts. As we invite you and your spouse to grow in your marriage relationship, our primary goal is that you, as individuals, are moving away from living with a hardened heart and moving toward living with a softened heart. When this happens, we can find new life and healing for our pain. God understands our pain. Jesus understands our suffering and pain. When we seek him and invite his perfect love to be the desire of our heart, the desire of our heart, we find healing in Christ, in what God did for us by sending Jesus to die on the cross. See, Jesus did what we could never do for ourselves. Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 10 spell this out for us. "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Moving from a hardened heart to a softened heart allows us to stop living out of our pain that ultimately inflicts more pain on others when we do stay in the hardened state. Christian author and theologian Richard Rohr says it well. If we do not transform our pain, we will always transmit it. Someone else always suffers because we don't know how to suffer out our own wounds. Remember, I turned to alcohol, exercise, and lust out of my pain instead of running to God. By doing so, I created suffering for many others, primarily Michael and our sweet, innocent daughters. But there was absolutely a ripple effect of my choices throughout our extended families, friends, community. Our daughters' teachers felt it, neighbors, like it just kept going. When I finally allowed others to share God's word with me, my heart began softening. It didn't happen overnight, but in God's perfect timing, I was able to see my sin through his eyes, and that wrecked me. It brought me to my knees. I ran to God to heal my wounds and brokenness, and I was met with his tender care, hope, and healing. If we will understand and be amazed by how we have been saved from the wrath of God by the blood of Christ, we will hunger and thirst for his word and his ways. Instead of asking, how could I ever forgive? The question then becomes, how could I not forgive? Only by the power of the Holy Spirit was Michael able to not throw my former sin at me during new conflict in our marriage. Michael was genuinely able to extend forgiveness to me because of the forgiveness he received in Christ. This same power is available to every single person who will turn to God for healing with a softened heart. Tonight, will you evaluate the condition of your heart? Is it hard? Even a little bit? Or is it soft? If it's hard, would you be willing to trust God's way over your way? The great news is, friends, that God doesn't ask us to do any of this without his help. He knows we cannot do it and has given us a helper in the Holy Spirit. Listen to the words of Joshua 1, 8, and 9. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, that you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.